friends, here we are. It is Thursday afternoon on this 23rd of July. And it's time for In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, available to answer your questions about gardening and just help with some timely tips about making the most of your patch of land. And before we pull Ed up on the phones here, he's joining us remotely. We want to say thank you to The Flower Farm for helping underwrite In the Garden here on KFSK. And they have bouquets by the jar or subscription available with dahlias, snaps, and more. Located at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day but Wednesday, with delivery available in the evenings. That's The Flower Farm, 772-3464. Now we'll get Ed Bajarski on the phone here with us. Greetings and salutations from Petersburg, Ed. How goes it?
Hello from Juneau, where it's... I don't know if I even dare say it. I'm parked in the shade because it's sunny and it's awfully bright.
Wow.
I hope it lasts because we need it.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, no, we don't have anything like that going on just at the moment down here. I think we just heard today that this is the rainiest summer in 50 years in Petersburg.
Yeah, I saw that a little bit, and, you know, our weather wizards way back in March and April were predicting this to be warmer and drier than usual, and boy, did they get wrong this year.
Yeah, our poor plants are really struggling. Thank goodness that a lot of folks in Petersburg have figured out that greenhouses are absolutely crucial to getting anything growing. But, you know, there's lots of raised beds and, you know, containers. People are finding a way. And no matter how the rain has been, there's sunny skies at some point ahead, and there's still a lot of growing season left, and there's lots that has already grown. So there's things to do.
Yeah, I know we've got potato plants are flowering, at least in some places. Some, they're even farther along than that. So that's a good indication they're setting some potatoes underground. My peas, last year we were eating peas at this time. This year I haven't even seen flowers on my pea, edible potted pea plant. So I'm anxiously waiting for those. You know, we've got lots of lettuce and other goodies that are growing well, especially, as you say, the stuff that's in our hoop houses and greenhouses where we can control the moisture and thin out the slugs. We've got beets. Beets are looking good. Carrots, possible. And there's lots of green, little green tomatoes, so that's good.
Hmm. Nice. Theme song showing up.
And it is definitely time for garlic harvest. The weather is pushing us because of the possibility for the outer skins of the garlic bulbs to be rotting in the ground. Hmm. And this is something I've been really diligent for the past 2 or 3 weeks, walking the rows. I mean, I've got a lot of garlic, but looking at the stems, the garlic stems, where they come out of the ground, and looking for, and unfortunately finding, more of the gray or white mold right in that bottom 2 or 3 inches of stem, and those have to be gotten out. So, I mean, individually digging out each bulb, each plant with the bulb attached, and setting them aside, I'm treating them. I actually clean them, and even clean being stripping off outer leaves, which can take off that moldy layer, which can penetrate several layers of the skin of the, you know, when you peel back a leaf and you see there's still a white spot going in, so you peel back another leaf on the stem, that is, and to see what you've got. And the other indicator, one thing you see too, from those, if you see a little white spot on the, you know, somewhere near the base of the leaf, there will usually be a red streak down on the skin, down to the bulb. I mean, you hate to say it, it almost looks like that red streak that goes up your arm from blood poisoning in your finger. It's almost comparable. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, those bulbs, which are afflicted, need to be kept separate from your good ones, the ones that don't show any of that, that you're doing your cleaning of, I'm even doing a little light, once I get the skins peeled down, if they're fairly clean, I'll even do a 10% bleach water dip for them, in the hopes of killing off some of that outer stuff. You know, the skins are still protecting the bulb, I hope. And then trying to dry them out as much as possible. Those bulbs, which have been afflicted, I do not plan to save for replanting. Mm-hmm. And I really don't plan to save for long-term storage unless I can really get them dry. But even then, I am working very hard to keep them separate so that any of the mold spores don't infect new clean bulbs. Mm. And that includes washing my own hands, or if I'm, you know, wearing rubber gloves, even dip the rubber gloves in that same 10% bleach solution to prevent that spreading.
Uh-huh. Okay, that is a very, that's a good tip for what to look out for, because these are conditions that are just terribly conducive to mold finding a home on those things we're trying to grow.
They really are. So from there, once I do that cleaning, that, you know, the cleaning of the good bulbs and the bad bulbs that are being separated, some of them are going into my furnace room where it's warmer to help them dry out. I've also got a bunch of them hanging up in bunches. These are and over a wood stove in my garage that I'm feeding every day, and I've got a fan running, an oscillating fan running, to, again, help them dry out more quickly. With the help. Usually I'd be putting some in my, I'd have racks and poles in the upper reaches of my greenhouse where I'd be putting them. But again, the problem is it hasn't been getting really warm enough or dry enough to cure there. So I'm leery. I'm just kind of, I hope that we'll get to dry out more in August. So maybe I can get some of those into the greenhouse. I'm starting to max out my storage areas, my drying areas.
Mm. Gotcha.
So whatever, have a good spot. If you've got a nice warm place, that's key. Get the air movement. That's very important also. And get them up so they can dry out as much as possible. You can leave, and you have choices. You can either allow the stems and the leaves, leave them on there, leave them attached, to dry out, and the bulb will pull some nutrients out of those stems, but they are very wet. So your other alternative is cut the stems back, but leave 6 or 8 inches still. And, I mean, when you cut through those, you can almost turn the stem upside down and get garlic juice dripping out of them. I mean, they are so moist. So, again, I suppose that's turn it into salad dressing with some good olive oil. One more thing you can do too, you know, and last year I was looking at this and thinking, geez, these are so, I hate to waste all these nice, there's lots of big green leaves up on the top still. So those green leaves can be chopped and tossed into soup and stew and salads and other assorted dishes that you might be making too. So you can get more, you know, we've harvested pretty much, I assume, all of the scapes off the top that we've eaten or found another market for or shared with friends.
Wow. So the leaves are an edible leafy green?
Mild. You know, use them like you might use chives. Hmm. Same kind of way as that. Chop them up, toss them with, oh, they're great. You know, if you've got some potatoes, doing mashed or boiled potatoes, and again, chop them up fine and mix them with that, with a little butter, olive oil, and it's, you know, a really tasty addition. One thing I tried last year, I was quite disappointed at. I thought, oh boy, these would be great, and I could dry these out in my dehydrator, and then I'd have them for the winter time. So I did. I chopped and filled the dehydrator with the nice green leaves, and after, you know, the next day, and of course it smells wonderful. Oh, just the fragrance coming out of the dehydrator is terrific.
Mm.
But I think that's where all the flavor went, because I went to taste once the leaves were dried, and I went to chew on some, thinking, well, they'd be kind of more concentrated, and there was no flavor left.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I've done that with chives, too. You can freeze them, and I haven't tried freezing the leaves, but, you know, frozen chives will hold some flavor, but dried chives likewise have minimal flavor. So that was a disappointment. I could have had I could have had a bucket full of dried garlic leaves to sell to somebody, but oh well. It was a good idea. It would be high fiber. I guess we could use them for fiber.
Sure. Yeah. Well, worth trying, though. Good to hear about that experiment.
One thing, too, when I talked about stripping the leaves down off the plants, and again, if you're going to be planning on saving the whole or drying the whole plant, stems and leaves attached, I will strip down until I have four green leaves left on the plant, you know. So, and some of these, I mean, if it were drier, if we were having dry weather like we did last year, you know, that was just about perfectly right, and most of the lower leaves were brown. Well, this year, lots of those lower leaves are still green, but with the threat of the mold, fungus, and all of that, there are still more green leaves allowed left on the plant. So if gardeners have a patch of garlic, you're inspecting it, you're seeing no signs of mold, and nice green lower leaves, then I would say you might take the risk and leave them in. I mean, they will definitely gain size on your garlic bulbs if you can allow them to keep growing with all those green leaves on them for another week or two. So I'm high grading. I'm choosing which ones are more yellowed, more brown bottom leaves, and the really green ones that are nice and healthy are still staying in the ground for another week, maybe more. Again, hoping that August is going to be different.
Right. And so the big fear is that if it's too waterlogged, the skins on the bulbs are just not going to be able to hold out, and you'll see them get soggy and rot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then when you pull out your garlic or carefully dig, you know, you want to use a digging fork or a shovel to loosen, because pulling them up, unless you've got really loose soil, you may actually break loose the stem from the bulb. You want to do this gently. But when you pull them up, and assuming you see nice skins, as opposed to seeing naked cloves without skins on them, those will not store well.
Mm-hmm.
So then, again, those need to be cleaned off as best you can and use them up as quickly as possible, along with any of your affected bulbs, too.
Gotcha.
Now, you can take, you know, here's another option, is that you can take the bulbs, break apart the cloves, peel them, and the challenge is with these green, or in this case white, when you peel them down, they have a pretty tough skins at this time of year until they really dry out. Then the skins come off much more easily.
Right.
But you can take those, remove the skins, you know, peel the garlic, and at least dry them overnight or dry them out a bit, and you can take them in a large frying pan or saucepan with some good olive oil, put your garlic in there and heat them up slowly till the garlic is just bubbling, not browning. You don't want to brown them, but just bubbling. And again, you're going to perfume your house with the smell. I mean, I'll stick my nose right down in there and just breathe it in. You know, that'll kill off bad stuff in my system. And then let that, which will now be slightly cooked and softened garlic, let it cool in the oil and put it into jars and refrigerate or freeze.
Right. And so you're heating it in the oil to kill off any bacteria versus storing it in oil without doing that, which would potentially be unsafe.
Yes, and that is it is specifically disrecommended by the Cooperative Extension Service because of the potential for primarily botulism.
Right.
Which is in the soil around us. I mean, it's here. So you don't want to be doing raw garlic in oil and just keeping it cool. You do want to heat it up for that additional preservation factor. I haven't checked, I've got a candy thermometer. You could use one of those probably to check the temperature, or a deep frying thermometer, which I have not done. But again, I just heat it gently until the bubbles stop, which is the moisture coming out. And it softens. You can check that, you know, just press on them with a fork or whatever, and then do that. And of course, you can make pesto and chimichurri and all that sort of thing too with some of the other garden goodies that we have, like the parsley and sorrel and kale and dandelion greens, chickweed, all that other green stuff, which can be chopped and mixed with the garlic and some salt and the olive oil.
Oh,
make
yeah.
a spread for everything.
Mm. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, that sounds fantastic. Say, let me cut in there and go to the phone lines here. We have a caller on line one. Hello there, line one.
Hi, Oren. Hi, Ed. Real great information on that garlic there. That was really enjoyable. I got a potato question. Got a friend that's got raised beds, and they're all pretty close to each other, and he's got different varieties of potatoes in each one. But the one is starting to yellow, and the leaves on the bottom are starting to kind of wither away and rot and stuff. And he was wondering, is there a problem going on there, or is it maybe the variety that's kind of early and it's already set the potatoes? They got blooms on them and stuff. But the other ones are just like robust and vigorous, deep green, doing really well. So we were just kind of wondering if there's a possible problem there.
Hard to say. I mean, there are, and this weather we are having is certainly conducive to a couple of the, you know, the, if anything, it might be early blight. I would hope not. Certainly it's worth just, having him dig up a plant or two and see if there's some nice potatoes underneath there. If he planted them early, you know, if he got them in, say, in early May or even in April, which is very possible.
It was the early bed. It was the first that they had planted.
And again, the variety does make a difference. Mm-hmm. So some are much earlier than others. So that, too, could contribute to that one. It might be mature. You know, so I would say ahead and harvest. Check to see. This another one I talked about, the garlic stems, checking those. But also look at the potato stems right there where they come out of the ground too, whether we could hope they're not turning brown or black and rotting right there at the ground level. And take a look, I hate to suggest it, but some varieties, well, I can hope that he started out with certified seed, so he got clean seed to begin with, or good clean home-raised seed potatoes that he planted, you know, and check and see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the stems are at the ground line are starting to, like you said, brown or get black, that would be a sign of the blight then?
Yeah, it might be. You know, that would be bad news. And again, you could go online. I mean, just Google that, early blight or late blight. I mean, they're two somewhat different, I want to say they're bacterial, not fungal issues. But again, the very moist conditions that we have had are certainly conducive to it.
And then certain varieties of potatoes are more susceptible to that than, say, others. So would you be concerned planting potatoes back in there next year, or should you, scrap that dirt and, you know, rotate something else in there?
Well, definitely would not. I mean, in any case, even if they're all perfectly healthy potatoes, you shouldn't be planting back into the same beds year after year.
Yeah, right. Right.
But and again, if this check the quality of the potato, hopefully there's potatoes underneath there, check to see that the quality of those is good, slice a couple of them, see that there aren't brown streaks in the potato, and even to potentially storing them separately. Because again, if you read the stories about the Irish potato famine, a lot of the potatoes rotted, you know, they harvested them, but the potatoes still deteriorated or rotted in storage later. So again, that's more reason to separate those, you know, dig the, check and see, if they look to be mature, dig them out and be careful about cleaning, you know, sanitation, even to using your tools, as well as if you were using gloves or boots, even to washing or bleaching those if there's concern that is a disease.
Wow, that's good advice.
Yeah, it's just sanitation, and so that you don't want to spread this stuff if that is a disease issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for the information. It was very helpful.
You're welcome. Yeah, we all want to grow healthy plants and healthy food.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Well, you have a good day now. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks for the call there. You know, that does kind of raise a related question to what we were talking about harvesting garlic a little bit earlier than we would have necessarily wanted, given the rains. With potatoes, if memory serves, you know, once we have a bed of potatoes grown, and we might want to talk a little bit about what to look for to get some indications that potatoes are doing good underground there, but ideally we would want to kind of let them cure underground, right? But if it's real wet like it has been, is there a different approach to take there?
There are. And a friend of mine who plants his earlier, particularly so he can get them to the market earlier, I was just talking to him 3-4 days ago, and what he does, he watches them, he watches the timing for when they're flowering, and then, you know, has dates, and he does some test digging, too, to see how the potatoes are looking. But then he will come along, and this is something we can do, too, is come along, actually cut off, and whether you've got a big patch that you use a weed whacker with, or cut them off with a knife, serrated edge knife or something like that, cuts the stems off, and then throws a waterproof tarp over the bed, over the box, where they're growing, over the raised mounds, and leaves them in the ground then for 2 weeks, so that they are curing in the ground, the skins are toughening. You know, we've talked about this before, you know, that we otherwise would do this undercover in a garage, in a dark place, but this can work in the ground. I mean, then the waterproof cover is so that they don't get any wetter than they are. So that will help them cure without them, we hope, rotting in the ground. And we've also got to hope that the mice and the voles aren't that hungry that they're going to move in underneath that tarp and start eating our potatoes either.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly a concern, you know, one that I remember from Petersburg living 30 some years ago. So it's a very hospitable place out of reach of the fox and the owls and the cats and the other critters, where they can go underneath there and feast and fatten up their little tiny bodies.
That is true. Okay, well that's a good strategy there. And for folks thinking about that, what are the signs to look for? You know, how much of a bloom are you looking for before you start thinking about that?
So normally when we see the potatoes blooming, that's an indicator they're starting to set potatoes under the ground. Normally we would want to wait probably a month at least after blooming before they would be mature. But again, like you said, or the other fellow said, that the other potatoes are looking nice and bright green and all that sort of thing, leave them there. Leave them alone. As long as they're green and healthy plants, leave them there to grow. And when the otherwise, look at the leaves and the stems. I mean, if they're starting to yellow after, say, roughly 100 days or so from either when they were planted or even when they sprouted, which might be a week or two later than when we planted them, you know, count out there that far. And then, and of course, do some test digging to see what do our potatoes look like. You know, if we've got lots of nice big potatoes, they're at the size we want them to be, whether it be for boiling or baking or whatever, well, that would be the time then to cut them off, throw the tarp over them, and or start harvesting and start curing. I normally would be waiting, other than for those I can't, you know, I want to eat some early ones. Of course, I'm still eating last year's potatoes. And carrots and meat. But if we, by usually say mid-September or sometime after that, or if we get a frost, that'll usually kill down the potatoes. If they're still green, I'll leave them in the ground. I mean, I've harvested potatoes into November if the plants haven't died off completely. You know, that's okay. So they're still bulking up. And assuming, of course, we don't have a heavy scab issue or otherwise, too, depending on variety.
Okay. That's a good tip. Is that does that still apply in the same way for folks who are, say, using like seaweed in bags type approach?
you mean growing the potatoes in seaweed, bags of seaweed?
Well, yeah, you know, bags or on the beach and you mix, you know, doing it that way.
Yeah. Well, again, if the potatoes are green and healthy, they're still growing. They're probably either making more new potatoes or the ones that are underneath there are growing larger. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just harvest the ones that you need. And then, you know, if you can wait, leave them in the ground. They'll store, assuming they're not too wet, they'll store well in the ground is fine that way.
Nice.
Until you need to, finally, it's time, you know, or I need to get my potatoes out and get them curing because I've got other stuff going on here for whatever that may be.
Right. Nice. Okay. Good. Good potato tangent there. Hope those early ones there from that caller are just ready to get out and cured.
Yeah. Let's make one mention of, for both potatoes and garlic, that disposal of the whether that be the garlic outer leaves and stems or the potato vines and all of that. I normally do not compost those. I mean, I've got a disposal area. I can get rid of them. I don't, you know, I'm not going to be putting those back into the soil because I don't want to be bringing potential disease, fungus, bacteria, and stuff back to the soil for those. You know, so those don't go in there. You know, and kind of like we've talked about not putting in our cabbage root maggot-infested roots, so the tops would be okay, would be safe to throw in your compost. So just be careful how you dispose of that. Off to the dump, if you've got the space, in your garbage can, that's great. Trying to get them to burn, that would be a challenge in this weather.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's an important reminder, a good tip for sure. Okay, any parting thoughts about harvesting garlic here?
I think not. I'm just hoping everybody has some or knows somebody who has some that you can swap and trade to get some good garlic because we grow some great stuff here in Southeast Alaska.
That's true. That is so true. Best garlic I have ever encountered anywhere. Yeah, I can't beat it. Well, on that appetizing note, maybe we'll leave it there, and we'll pick up the conversation again next week.
Okay, sounds good, Warren.
Okay, thank you so much for all the great information, Ed.
You're very welcome.
Okay, till then.
Okay, bye.
That's In the Garden. Big thank you to Master Gardener Ed Byarski for answering our questions and just having it having a good calendar in his mind to just keep us working in the garden. Each week it's different, you know. The growing season moves along and there's always a way to keep busy out there. So we appreciate the advice from Master Gardener Ed Byarski. And we also appreciate the underwriting support of The Flower Farm. They have bouquets by the jar and by subscription available. Dahlias, snaps, and more in those bouquets. Flower Farm is at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. 10 till 4 every day but Wednesday with delivery happening in the evenings. Their phone number is 772-3464.